month ago, we are reviewing that bilateral relationship and making sure that it best suits American national security interests. That work is ongoing. Furthermore, the website of Shia News reports since Saudi Arabia led OPEC Plus decision to cut oil output by 2 million barrels a day in what Riyadh said was a necessary move that was economically motivated, the White House announced that it would review U.S.-Saudi ties, claiming the oil cut was a political move to support Moscow in its special operation in Ukraine. Following U.S. attempts to pressure Riyadh into reversing the decision, which was described by Turkey as a U.S. attempt to bully Saudi Arabia, several member states of OPEC Plus, the producer group comprising the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries plus its allies, reiterated there is consensus among OPEC Plus countries that this is the best decision, a preemptive move in light of uncertainty and lack of clarity looming in the horizon. Allies for decades, Washington and Riyadh have been keeping their differences behind closed doors. But the tension on OPEC Plus oil cut broke out into the open, demonstrating broken relations and lack of trust. The two allies were unable to hide the heated spat over oil production amid Saudi concerns over the Biden administration and where it stands. 2 months after the rise of tensions between Riyadh and Washington, the oil-rich country rolled out the red carpet for China's president, giving him a warm welcome, unlike his U.S. counterpart. Saudi TV channels showed a grand ceremony at Al-Yamamah Palace, during which Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, also known as MBS, received the Chinese leader. The warm welcoming of Chinese president comes contrary to the frosty reception of U.S. President Joe Biden a few months ago. Of course, it is also important to remind that Saudi Arabia did not congratulate Biden on his official inauguration and entry to the White House. Analysts have said the contrast between Xi Jinping's grand welcome and Biden's cold fist bump during his visit to the kingdom highlights how Saudi Arabia sees itself having more in common with China than with the U.S. At a time the U.S. is seen as seeking its own interests on behalf of all other nations, the Persian Gulf countries, led by Saudi Arabia, seemingly seek a more east-oriented approach that defies U.S. dictations. Such developments indicate the diminishing role of the United States as the dominant power and center of governance. The occurrence of such encounters in itself is considered historic and indicates that a new world order is becoming more and more realistic.
This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Back to Reality. This is Asma, your humble host. Once more, I have the privilege to be here with two very dear guests, Sister Zainab and Sister Bita. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Asma.
Thank you for being here.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Today I'm really happy that I have the honor to be here with you two and our dear listeners.
Thank you. And we have the pleasure to have you both in here.
Thank you.
So now, as the ritual of this program, I would like you to give us a very brief introduction about yourself.
All right. I am Zainab Askari, and I am done with Master's in Linguistics from Kashmir University, and then I came to Iran, and I'm studying in the seminary school right now.
So I wish you luck. And you, Sister Vita?
I'm Vita, a medical student who is really interested in that sort of discussions.
Depression is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest. Well, it sometimes could be called a syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
But nowadays we see that it's been so pandemic. Let's call it pandemic because many people are coping with it. And it's it no longer has the same sad connotation it used to have 10 years ago or
exactly.
15 years ago. Well, I guess it has become a part of everyone's life, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it has come natural, unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure about it. It seems like we are getting used to depression, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think after the 3 years of quarantine for COVID-19,
exactly.
this depression just, we made it worse and worse and worse day by day. And, I want to start from my own experience. I think every individual has experienced this kind of depression, this feeling of depression at least once, I think.
Very true.
And I think from you to your listeners, I think you are the depressed one or you know some depressed persons around you.
Exactly.
And this is a disaster, unfortunately. Because, being depressed is connected to being numb. And when you feel numb about anything, this motivation of you, of going on, of moving on, going forward for living, and loving life will be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the main problem of depression.
So, Sister Zainab, what are your ideas, your bright ideas about sad depression?
Well, I think depression comes into your life when the life does not go the way you want it to go.
Very true.
Over and over, again and again. Okay, if you face it once, it's okay. If you face it twice, it's okay. But when life consistently does not go the way you have planned it or you want it to go, or it's not as per your mood, you experience depression. And that's because why you experience it more, because you are not ready for it. As Imam Ali alayhis salam puts it, that there's a day that's in your favor and there's a day against you.
Exactly.
We are ready for the day that's in my favor. We're not ready for the day that's against me. We don't have that capability.
The day that is with you, or it serves your favor, don't be so happy.
Yeah.
And the day that is against you, don't be so sad, because both ways, it's not going to stay forever.
So once your capability to accept that, the thing that life is not going the way I want it to go, is actually makes things difficult,
exactly.
and it gets in depression. And then I think today everyone around your family, outside your family, in the society, you yourself, everyone is depressed because other than the accepting this, other than having this capability, we all are in a race.
You're telling me that, okay, when life doesn't go as the way you want it to go, it makes you feel like depressed because you cannot do anything. But I think I'm different or something.
No, there was a key point in what she said. She said an incessant
I got it.
An incessant process. There is no way to cut it, one after another.
I got
you are going to experience a situation that is bitter, that is very sad.
I think,
and actually, Sister Vita is trying to get us back to reality. We would go to that, definitely.
Yeah,
but I was just telling the root cause.
Exactly.
Now, when you face it, is because I never said you can't do anything about it. But I said, when you feel depressed, why you feel sad? Because I feel depressed or sad when literally life does not go the way I want it to go. People do not behave with me the way I want them to behave. Life is not meant to be happening with the way that I have planned.
Exactly.
We want it to be. Now, what we can do about it is the second part of the story. But I was saying that when we feel depressed.
So I guess now the fruit of our discussion is going to sprout out. But let's go for a short break and I'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are talking about depression. Well, depression might sound a little bit of sad and dark and very narrow, but it happens. And nowadays, we cannot claim that either I have experienced depression or I have seen some other people going through this process. It happens. It's a disorder. And there's so much of reasons for it. I read it somewhere that life is an incessant pursuit of a never fugitive satisfaction or happiness. So, reading this sentence, it made me feel depressed because when you think of life as a meaningless process, then everything would go so dark and black in front of your eyes, and then you would feel, okay, why should I have passion in this life? Why should I share any interest in a life that has got no meaning? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So another reason of depression is losing the meaning of life.
Searching for the reason of depression is not that much true because especially, you know, the night before this day, I was reading a research about one person who, she was called Rose, and this Rose was seriously depressed. You know, she felt like, okay, everything was meaningless and, you know, she didn't know why I'm like this. And there were no reason because Rose has a beautiful life, has really good friends, family, whatever job, you know, success in her life, and she didn't know why she's depressed, you know, and she was resisting that she has this disease. And once, after a long time of suffering from this disease, she went to the doctor. And from the medical side, this depression, this feeling of depression of and emptiness of meaning of life, is about your sometimes it's about your hormones and the chemicals that are in your body and so on.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know. And the thing I want to tell you is that you have to look at it from the materialistic point of view too.
You mean medical aspects.
Exactly.
Is maybe the condition that you're in needs a really serious medical treatment.
Yeah. I mean, you can count it as a disease.
Yeah.
You know what?
Of course
and
it is a disease.
And because it is so much spread out in the world and in the all the countries, you cannot ignore it.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't be ignorant of what you feel.
We cannot think of it as something simple.
Exactly.
It is not simple. You have to consult a medical scientist, whatever, that is going to help
you.
Yeah,
I also read one of the stories like that, and the person at the end of the day met spiritual counselor, a religious guide, and told him, I have everything, but I don't know why there's no taste in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm depressed.
Yeah.
And the scholar, just without asking him anything, told him, stop listening to music.
You know, even in India,
even in our country, we have some singer who is famous for just singing only sad songs. And in one of the award functions, when he got awards for those singing songs, the anchor told him, when we listen to your songs, even if a person has a smooth relationship, he feels like
even
having a breakup.
Even if I'm single, I would feel like I've been through
exactly.
a breakup.
This means that these songs do have effect on your life, on your mood.
Yeah.
And they do cause some, you know, some, I don't know, nothingness in your life, no meaning or something. So you have to control what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're doing, what you're, you know, what you're feeding your soul with. That also has consequences apart from that materialistic aspect that Sister Beta put.
Yeah.
That there are hormonal changes. There are so many things happening. And you have to be understanding in family, like as Sister Beta said, that sometimes, because there's a stage in women's life, they feel with that PMS, and they are very, very sad in that time. And not many people are educated about this, that she gets more and more aggressive in this period.
Yeah.
And we have to be understanding. So it's the family who has to get educated and control that her to get depressed.
Yeah, and because if they do not control it, if they do not find any solution for it then
it's
going
to disastrous.
Yeah, it would go wild.
Yeah, because there have been cases of death, murder in the PMS. So I'm trying to say there are both materialistic aspects
and spiritual aspects
that lead to
and
depression.
Mental issues, of course. So you need to consult a psychologist, a spiritual counselor.
Exactly. Exactly. And let me add something to the materialistic part that you mentioned about music and something. Sounds are really important. Sometimes you feel really depressed when you are, for example, stuck in a dark room that there is no sound in it. You're all alone and you feel completely and absolutely depressed. I think, and these times when you go in the street and you hear the sound of life, like, people whispering about different topics of day-to-day life, and you see other people, the cars are, you know, are driving in the street and so on. All these sounds makes you to just feel amazing about life. You know?
Yeah.
And I think sound is something mesmerizing and really effective.
Exactly.
We have been guided what kind of sounds we have to be going through. Like it's said that when you wake up in the morning, if you want to have a very good day, just go to some place where you hear the chirping of birds, where you hear the waterfalls, the sound of the waterfalls.
Exactly. Sound of nature.
The nature, basically, because the artificial sound that keeps us disconnected from the nature itself.
Yeah.
And when you see nature, feel nature, hear the sounds, it has a lot of impacts, like our sister beat up on it.
In autumn, when you sit somewhere where there are too much of trees, and the leaves of the tree, these very broken leaves, when they get together and they crush, then it has a very beautiful sound that is so nourishing and inspiring to our soul. So I mean,
that
it's
would only come from a literary person.
Yes. What I mean is that actually not always listening to these harsh musics that are everywhere right now. You can see, I wanted to mention this point that sometimes depression has some personal background, but some other times they have some social backgrounds. When I all the time listen to the news that is giving me this very sad feeling that, okay, everything is going down the hills, everything is just going so sad, we're going to go miserable, then how would I feel? I would feel miserable.
I was just discussing that with my husband a couple of days ago, and I told him, like, what do you want next in your life? He said, death.
Thank
I was,
you.
Why? He said, because I'm hearing news from everywhere. Everything is, I don't know, one country's in war, another is in famine, another is in this, another is in this. Then, so shouldn't I pray for this? And I told him, you could have rather said, may Allah give me the capability to help them out. May Allah, or you could have, if you could do nothing, you could have at least said, may Allah hasten the reappearance of our Imam.
Yeah, that
so that
true.
Whole thing, you believe that justice is going to fill the world as injustice has. And, you know, the world is going to be the other way.
Yeah.
So you could have prayed this rather than praying for death, basically.
Exactly.
So, yes, these things are there that make a person feel depressed to the extent that he prays for death.
Yeah. Now, before we get too depressed, let's go for a short break and we'll be back. So, dear listeners, welcome back to Back to Reality. Well, you're listening to IRB English Radio. We're discussing depression. It might sound sad, but, well, we're getting something out of it right now in here.
Well, I think there are a hell lot of reasons we can talk about, but I think we should come to how do we overcome this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we should remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
inna
ma'al usri yusra, with every
very beautiful
difficulty,
there is ease.
This is the gist of life, I guess. Every bad thing that might come into your mind, there exists in this world.
Yeah.
But after all, we have a Lord, and Allah has promised us to be there. He's always close to us, and He will never let us down. Develop such an assurance in your heart. So thank you, dear listeners. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. يا ربي لدي أمار عزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك يا الله let us see daylight again, once again.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, says more than 11,000 Yemeni children have been killed or maimed since the Saudi-led aggression against the impoverished country began in 2015. The agency says hundreds of thousands of children also remain at risk of death from starvation or preventable diseases. That's while the true toll of the conflict is likely to be far higher. According to the agency, about 2.2 million Yemeni children are acutely malnourished. One quarter of them aged under five. Most of them are at extreme risk from cholera and other vaccine-preventable diseases. Described as the world's worst humanitarian crisis by the UN, nearly three-quarters of Yemen's population is said to be in need of humanitarian aid and protection. UNICEF is seeking over $480 million to respond to the crisis in Yemen over the next year and has warned that lack of predictable funding puts children's lives and well-being further at risk. The agency has also called on the warring sides to renew a UN-brokered truce, which was announced in April and expired in October without an agreement to extend it. At least 62 children have been killed or wounded since then. The collapse of Yemen's ceasefire risks rolling back some of the progress that has been made after the lifting of a Saudi blockade on Yemen that has prevented airplanes and ships from entering and leaving the country. While both sides have blamed the other for failure of a lasting ceasefire, Yemen's Ansarullah movement has stated that restoring peace in Yemen is not possible unless the invading countries abandon their arrogant mentality. Saudi Arabia, along with some of its regional allies, launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015, with arms and logistics support from the U.S. and other Western states. The objective was to reinstall the Riyadh-friendly regime of Abd Rabbu Mansour Hadi and crush the popular Ansarullah movement, which has been running state affairs in the absence. Hundreds of thousands of Yemenis have died ever since, either as a result of war or indirectly through unsafe drinking water, disease outbreaks, hunger, and other impacts. In Yemen, thousands of civilian and child deaths have been blamed on Saudi-led airstrikes, which have hit markets, weddings, funerals, residential homes, and hospitals. In addition, Yemen's health ministry said last month that 80 newborn babies lose their lives on a daily basis because the war-torn country does not have the required medical equipment due to the Saudi-led war and blockade. Yemeni officials say the use of prohibited weapons is one of the reasons behind a growing trend of children's death. Several human rights organizations have already acknowledged and condemned Saudis for using such arms. Since launching the war, with the support of Washington, the Saudi-led coalition has used internationally banned weapons, including U.S.-made cluster bombs to target residential areas. Apart from the war, Riyadh has imposed a blockade on Yemen, which combined have claimed lives of hundreds of thousands of people. The military aggression has destroyed much of the country's infrastructure, including health sector. Meanwhile, Sana'a has warned foreign companies against plundering energy resources of the country, stressing that it will spare no effort to defend national sovereignty and safeguard public interests and health. The Saudi-led coalition and their proxies have looted more than $13 billion in Yemeni oil revenues between 2016 and 2021. The large amounts could have been used to pay the salaries of employees in the National Salvation Government, reduce the exchange rate, and help improve the living standards for Yemenis and alleviate their suffering. The States has revealed it was pressing the United Nations not to update a blacklist of companies doing business in illegal Israeli settlements within the occupied West Bank. That's despite Washington's calls on its ally to stop expansion in occupied Palestinian territory. State Department spokesperson Vedant Patel stated that the United States will oppose any work to update the UN blacklist and has conveyed its concern directly with the Office of the High Commissioner. In February 2020, the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights published a list of companies operating in Israeli settlements. The list comprises 112 companies, including Israeli and American ones. The initial publication, which listed U.S. companies including Airbnb, Expedia, and TripAdvisor, was denounced by then-administration of Donald Trump, which had reversed long-standing U.S. opposition to settlements in the West Bank. The statement comes just days after the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken claimed that the Biden administration would oppose the Israeli settlement expansion and any bid to annex the West Bank. Since 1967, the Israeli occupation has established more than 230 settlements in the West Bank and Al-Quds, with over 500,000 settlers living in them to date. Despite the UN Security Council condemning the building of settlements, which under international law are all illegal, the Israelis continue expanding the annexation of more Palestinian land until today, with no prospect of stopping in the future. Palestine has slammed the U.S. move to pressure the United Nations not to update its list of companies operating in Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki told Voice of Palestine that the Palestinian leadership rejects any U.S. pressure on the UN and its operating institutions. He added that his ministry is working to arrange a meeting with the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk. His remark came after U.S. State Department announced that Washington continues to oppose any action to update the list and has raised concerns directly with the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Emboldened by Washington's all-out support, Israel's illegal settlement activities surged under former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during Trump's administration. The construction activities are in defiance of United Nations Security Council Resolution 2334, which pronounced settlements in the West Bank and East Al-Quds a flagrant violation under international law. In a speech on Sunday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that Washington would judge Benjamin Netanyahu's incoming regime by actions and not personalities. Controversial Israeli politician Netanyahu is likely to return to power after striking a coalition deal with the extreme right outfits, including religious Zionism, which could be put in charge of constructing illegal settlements and the Tel Aviv regime's land grab policies in the occupied Palestinian territories. Meanwhile, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called on the international community to criminalize Israeli violations against Palestinians and to hold the occupying regime accountable for its crimes. The movement has stressed that Israeli crimes constitute a flagrant violation of the principles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the international law, reaffirming its commitment to the legitimate Palestinian rights.
The United States is pressing the UN not to update a blacklist of companies doing business in illegal Israeli settlements. The US has said things like it opposes any work to update it, or our view is that this database only serves to reinforce an anti-Israel bias that too often finds traction in UN venues. It also said that this database poses a genuine threat to companies doing business or considering business operations in the region. Yet the U.S. statements lack any concern about how these settlements are illegal in the first place. The U.N. Human Rights Office published a list back in the year 2020. It was a database of more than 100 companies that it said are doing business in Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. The database took more than 3 years to complete. It was hailed by campaign groups as a significant step forward in making sure that big business respected international law. The overwhelming majority of the 112 firms named on the database were Israeli, including many of the country's main banks. But the list also included a number of well-known international companies, including, among others, Motorola Solutions, General Mills, TripAdvisor, and Airbnb of the U.S., Apodo, and J.C. Bamford of the United Kingdom, and Alstom of France. Israel's largest banks provide services that help support, maintain, and expand unlawful settlements by financing their construction in the occupied West Bank, including partnering with developers to build structures on land unlawfully seized from Palestinians. A 41-page report called Bankrolling Abuse, Israeli Banks in West Bank Settlements, detailed the scope of banking activities in settlements and the violations to which these activities contributed. Israel's seven largest banks provided services to the settlements. But funding for illegal settlements took the form of donations, like from the U.S. In the year 2015, an investigation into private U.S. funding of settlements revealed a network of tax-exempt charities that funneled hundreds of millions of dollars to Jewish communities in the West Bank. The money was transferred from New York, Miami, Texas, ending up in Hebron or the Old City of Jerusalem, and all came from organizations for which donations were tax-deductible in the U.S. Israel is already suffering from the BDS movements, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, which works to end international support for Israel's oppression of Palestinians and to pressure Israel to comply with international law. One of the issues that BDS exposes are products that are made in settlements and sold outside of Israel. BDS says the purchase of these products contributes to the Israeli regime and companies operating in occupied Palestinian lands. Israel has built more than 100 settlements in territories it captured from Jordan during a war in 1967. Under international law, the settlements in both the West Bank and Al-Quds, which are home to more than 600,000 people, are considered illegal, although Israel and the U.S. dispute such a characterization. They contribute to a discriminatory regime in which Israeli authorities restrict and stunt Palestinian economic development while subsidizing and supporting Israeli settlements built on land unlawfully seized from Palestinians. International humanitarian law forbids an occupying power from using land except for military purposes for the benefit of the local population living under occupation. Even though the U.S. opposes illegal settlements, its actions by all means support Israel and falls way short of taking any action to stop it. And now, with an extreme far-right administration that the incoming Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is forming, settlement building may move at an accelerated pace.
For me, the results of the last elections from last week is no less than a revolution in the national sense and in my personal life, because I've been yearning for a moment when the powers that are for the great Israel and for Jewish values, that these political powers will be in government.
The new Israeli administration, headed by Benjamin Netanyahu and National Security Minister Ben-Gvir, have agreed to legalize settlements. They announced that they will move ahead and amend what's called the disengagement law in order to enable settlers to settle in the northern occupied West Bank. It would legalize dozens of illegal West Bank outposts, something known as Young Settlements. All of this spells bad news for Palestinians who are fighting for their land.
President Xi hails a new era of relationships with the Persian Gulf state during his meeting with King Salman in his three-day stay at Yamama Palace in Saudi Arabia. The world's largest exporter of crude oil, joined by the world's largest importer of it, signed a comprehensive strategic partnership agreement that involved the Chinese tech giant Huawei. Huawei is one of the companies that just recently was barred from exporting its equipment to the U.S. because of a recent imports ban in the U.S. on certain high-profile Chinese tech firms, including the likes of ZTE and Hikvision. While this was the most restrictive ban, it is not an isolated ruling. Anti-Chinese rhetoric became mainstream during Donald Trump's presidency when he banned all of Huawei's 5G equipment from the U.S. and even by extension in some EU countries. He also banned U.S. citizens from owning Xiaomi stocks, labeling the company as a communist Chinese military company. Despite the U.S. security officials warning that equipment from Chinese brands such as Huawei in the field of telecommunications can be used to collect sensitive information, most of the 5G infrastructure in the Persian Gulf states is built, at least with the partial assistance from Huawei. With all the hassle that the U.S. has been causing these Chinese businesses, it was only a matter of time before they looked elsewhere to grow their business, as relationships between the U.S. and China are shaky at best. Now Saudi Arabia has become an important destination to grow these brands. But on the other side, Saudi Arabia's relationships with the U.S. is also at a low point, and King Salman's meeting with Xi Jinping solidifies the signal that was already being sent that Saudi Arabia is inching away from the U.S. This is becoming more and more apparent over the disagreements between the two countries over energy policies, security guarantees, and human rights issues. The U.S. isn't making inflammatory comments about the visit, but the coordinator for strategic communications of U.S. National Security Council, John Kirby, did say that, quote, "we're mindful of the influence that China is trying to grow around the world." Saudi Arabia's energy minister said that the relationship between the two countries is witnessing an epoch-making milestone, as he vowed that the kingdom will remain China's credible and reliable partner when it comes to oil production. Saudi Arabia isn't the only country warming up to China, and even Russia, as the OPEC Plus decision to cut down on oil production amid rising demands from the West and especially the U.S. was a joint decision between the kingdom and Russia as the leaders of the major oil exporting organization. While Saudi Arabia sees the U.S. as its top security partner, the recent shakeup in their relationships especially as a result of that very same OPEC Plus decision, has prompted the oil-rich kingdom to diversify on its partners list. It has shown that it does not want to hurt its relationship with Russia, as they have significant shared interests as leaders of the most influential crude oil exporting organization, and now it is showing that it is not shying away from cozying up to the US's trade war rival, China. As the use of Chinese yuan in the China-Saudi oil settlements is becoming increasingly more likely, especially during President Xi's visit to the kingdom, there is also the possibility of Saudi Arabia joining BRICS, as interest has been shown by the kingdom to join the trade-centered organization that also includes Russia as a member state. If, in fact, Saudi Arabia agrees to receive the Chinese yuan in exchange for its oil, that will be considered a massive blow to the falling hegemony of the US dollar in world trade, and especially in oil. This de-dollarization effort has been accelerating, and the first major instance of it happened as Western sanctions first started pouring in on Russia to limit its trade potential. What ended up happening was that as China's oil imports from Russia went up, state-owned oil enterprises increasingly used the Chinese yuan as payments. While all European Union member states are one way or another forced to cooperate with the US in sanctioning Russia, even if at an extremely high cost, the rest of the world is seeing less and less of an obligation to bend down to the will of the once hegemonic superpower as they see the prospect of a multipolar world more and more plausible and desirable.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I really welcome some of our students from Sevier International School here in the studio, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, brothers? Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. That's great. So, dear friends, today, inshallah, our main topic is Ayah 151 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, thank you so much for being with us once again. Please get your Quran. Refer to page what? Page what number? 151, page 23, Surah Al-Baqarah. So, let's everyone listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kama arsalna feekum rasulan minkum yatlu alaykum ayatina. يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ.
So guys, I will be reciting. Make sure you listen and repeat. All right? Let's go on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا
يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة
يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة
ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون
ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون. Listen to the translation. كما أرسلناكم فيكم كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم. As we sent to you an apostle or a messenger from among yourselves, to you, from you. Okay? يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا, who recites to you our signs, وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, and purifies you, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and teaches you the book and the wisdom, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, and teaches you what you didn't know. Okay. Guys, one of the reasons, okay, one of the reasons or one of the responsibilities of the prophets who have been sent to humankind is what? Is what?
To inform them what they don't know.
Yeah, to teach them what they don't know, to let them understand what they have been created for, and also to inform them, to warn them about to give them the good news and also to warn them about the heavens and the hellfire, the punishments and the rewards. So this is one of the reasons or one of the responsibilities of the prophets. Understood? The messengers. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ. The important point here is that prophets have been assigned, have been chosen, have been appointed from among the human beings, yes? If a prophet was sent, for example, if an angel was sent towards us to guide us to the right path, you know what would have happened?
Nobody would listen to him?
Yeah. Why? He's not among us. He's not from us. He's not a human being. Why should we follow him? Yes? And also the next thing, when Prophet ﷺ was appointed as a prophet, okay, people were saying, oh, he's like us. Why should we listen to him? The people were saying this again. He's from us. He's like us. So why should we follow him? If Allah Almighty wanted to guide us, to teach us something, so he would have sent us like an angel. Come on. When Allah Almighty wants to send an angel, you'll have this question again. When Allah Almighty wants to send you, to choose from someone among you, okay? Again, you have this question. So Allah Almighty chooses a prophet from among the people, okay? To tell them that he is the best model for you. Yes? He is the best one for you to follow him. Okay? So, in لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Okay? He is the best model. So, an angel can never be our model. Yeah? Of course. Yes. Because you can never be like an angel. You're better than angel. Okay? So, There are many options, many responsibilities for the prophets. وَيُعَلِّمُ يَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. One, the recitation of the signs of Allah Almighty, يُزَكِّيكُمْ, purifying the human beings. Okay, يُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And also يُعَلِّمُكُمْ, teaching the wisdom, the book, and teaching whatever the people don't know. So these are responsibilities. Guys, inshallah, may Allah Almighty bless us, okay, to first learn the teachings of the Holy Prophet, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and then after that we continue their way, okay, their path. This is our responsibility.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now the important tajweed rules here, I have to mention. فوات كما أرسلنا. Alif mad is there, right? كما.
Yes.
Okay. Plus أرسلنا starts with همزة. So, is the mad here wajib or jais? Huh?
Wajib.
Wajib? Is it wajib, Hussein?
It is jais.
No. No.
Is it jais?
Yes.
Yes.
So, it means you can skip this mad.
Yes.
Okay. Why is it jais?
Because Hamza is not in the same word with mad.
Oh, great. The rule says that if Hamza and if mad letter both are in one word, of course, the mad is wajib. But if they are in two separate words, the mad is not wajib. You can stretch the sound, prolong it, or you skip it. كَمَا أَرُسَلْنَا. Just pronounce the mad letter. No extension. كَمَا أَرُسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ. Or, Ali Nasir, how? For six counts?
Yeah.
How do you recite it with mad?
كَمَا أَرُسَلْنَا.
Yes.
Yeah, you prolong it.
Prolong it now?
Yes, sir. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا.
أحسنتم. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا. If you skip it, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا. Because the mad is جَائِز مُنْفَسِن. That's it.
Yes.
أَرْسَلْنَا. Ra must be pronounced heavily. فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. Guys, mad letters are very important. Okay, you have to pay attention. أَرْسَلْنَا فِي. They are important, okay? رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. تَنْوِين plus ميم. Huh? The rule says?
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام must be applied. You have to merge تَنْوِين to ميم.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ changes to?
رَسُولًا.
رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. With a nasal sound, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. رَسُولًا. Nasal sound also. Plus, nun sakin. Also, we have one nun sakin here.
And ikhfa.
Plus kaf. It says
ikhfa.
In a way to let your listener
understand
that the letter kaf comes here.
Yeah.
So, like ink. Mink.
Yes.
Minkum.
Yeah.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم. Alright.
Yes.
Next one. يتلو عليكم آياتنا. Look. يا نا. These long vowels. Pay attention. ويزكيكم ويعلمكم. They don't have any special rule, okay? They are easy. عين is important, yes. كُمُ الكتاب. Skip that حمزة الواصل. والحكمة. Skip حمزة الواصل. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ. Aha. ميم ساكن. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ. ميم ساكن. Plus ما starts with ميم. ميم ساكن plus ميم. There was a rule here.
إدغام
إثنين. Two letters. إدغام of two identical letters. So, you produce like a nasal sound. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ. Nasal sound. مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. So, the very, very important rules we have mentioned here, alhamdulillah. Now, guys, with the tajweed rules that you have learned now, okay, let's once listen to the recitation once again, okay? with the tajweed rules. Pay attention.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kama arsalna feekum rasulan minkum yatlu alaykum ayatina. يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون.
That was great. That was great. Okay, that was great. Now, alhamdulillah, you learned how to read it with tajweed rules. Let's once together, all of us. Okay, I will recite. You repeat after me. With the tajweed rules. Pay attention, okay? Brothers and sisters, listen please and repeat after us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Kama arsalna feekum rasulan minkum yatlu alaykum ayatina.
كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم
يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة
يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ
وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ
وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله may bless you inshallah thanks brothers and sisters for being with us that was all from us in this Quranic session please stay with us with the let's recite the Quranic Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IRAB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network please stay with us Every day, inshallah, we're with you here in these Quranic sessions. Thanks to Allah Almighty, thanks to IRAB English Radio, and also thanks to Sevier International School, and also students of Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and finally, Fawad Haider. See you, stay with us. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.